Are we ready? You ready? Good evening. So, we spoke last time about Zrizis. We used the word alacrity, having a push, a flame to accomplish what we could and what we should do in this world. That you could have lofty dreams, you could have great ideas, you could have great opportunities. If you do not have Zrizis, if you do not have push, you will miss the boat. You will miss the boat very often in business. You miss the boat in many spiritual, on a daily basis. You can, if you don't have Jesus, you will miss the boat of the mitzvahs you can do, of the spiritual gains you can have. So, as we mentioned last week, right after Zahiris, right after watching over, we learn about Jesus, because if you do not have Jesus, if you do not have Jesus, you really could squander. You could lose so many important opportunities in life. And we mentioned that Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei, in Proverbs, over and over again stresses Zrizis. Pushing yourself to do something. Right? Pushing yourself to accomplish. If you do not do it, you'll miss the day. Right? So whether it's calling a relative, if most relatives are probably sleeping if they're not in this time zone. If you didn't call them, it's too late for today. If it's davening mincha, you didn't daven any. I curious, do any ladies here daven mincha?
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, daven mincha. If you could daven mincha, I'll assume you all daven shacharis. But you should daven on a daily basis. And if you have little kids or you have a schooling schedule, I'm not saying they're not perhaps some leniencies, but either you do things or you don't things do things in life. There are opportunities to see great people. For ladies, Rebetzin, anyone ever meet Rebetzin Kanievsky? So Rebetzin Kanievsky? She was an unbelievable lady, right? So you could, if you didn't see her, and she's Reb Chaim's wife, she's Reb Alyosha's daughter, or Reb Arya Levine's granddaughter, if you never met her, you're going to have to wait till Tchias HaMesim, to the resurrection of the dead, to meet her. Because sometimes people are alive, you can either take advantage of the opportunities, and life, you don't take advantage, there are people to speak to in life, there are places to see in this world. And certainly on a spiritual level, if you don't have the push, it's actually crazy, because you know, the remarkable thing is many people's careers and life are largely locked in by a certain age. It's not fully. There's always second opportunities. There's always career change. But very often life will dictate. You know, if you're not a doctor by 35, you haven't started medical school. It's usually pretty hard to start medical school and residency and fellowships. So if you wanted to be a doctor, you got to pick that at a young age, right? There's certain things in life where you have opportunities. Either you do it or you don't do it. Either you take advantage of it or you don't. And what often happens, it's so sad and it's so crazy. So very often young people are they don't even know what they want. So I'm not talking about such people. Very often people don't know what they want, even big people, adults. I can't tell you how often people lack clarity. I think last week someone was asking me, how do you know? I said, you do know. All of us in this room, if we would actually think what we should be doing in our lives, we would know. There's no question about it. So one thing is not to be lazy and to actually think out what you should be doing in this world. But number two is, when you do know, you gotta push. You gotta have Jesus to meet the people, do what's necessary, to push yourself, to exert yourself, because the number one reason we miss out on opportunities is because we take our merry old time and it doesn't happen. You don't get there. And Shlomo HaMelech initially warns over and over, if you're a lazy person, if you're gonna sleep through life, you're going to lose out. You're gonna lose out. Just so we'll pick up where we left off. He warned over and over about this. Another pasuk. The Amar Gam Kimisrapim Mimalachto, Akula Bamashkes. The one who grows, this is a pasuk in Proverbs again in Mishlei. One who grows lazy, lax, in his work is also a brother of the master of destruction. Achulamashas, you are a brother of destruction. You are destroying something. You know, sometimes you destroy your job. Sometimes you destroy your business. Sometimes you destroy your marriage if you're lazy and working in your marriage. Sometimes you destroy your children if you're lazy and raising your children. Sometimes you destroy yourself if you're lazy about that. If you take things for granted. Because even though you're not the destroyer, you are it's his brother, and being Ben Gilo in this case doesn't mean it means it's like a comrade, friend. So I'll tell you I've a couple cases I've dealt with people on their health. They know they have some kind of growth or something looks weird, blah blah blah, and they just wait. Why do they go to the doctor? Why don't they take care of this? I'm too lazy. Now they know that they should really check this over their teeth. You should get the teeth. And what happens? God forbid that sickness gets worse, or they could have caught something early, or they end up getting a root canal in their teeth. Why did that happen? You know, you message people who got root canals? It's expensive and it hurts. You know, why does that happen? Because people don't push themselves. I had a case more than once. My first time I had this was when I was in Koilel in Lakewood. Somebody asked me to get involved with somebody, with a bacher who was struggling. This bacher actually had anxiety, and the family didn't want to deal with it. And realized that person was paralyzing them. So one of the things is to get this kid on medication, which is, you know, which once the person actually had help, did much better, and is now a functioning normal human being. But number two was, you know, to say, you know, what are you waiting for? It's going on for years. Nothing's happening. So I've seen this also. Parents have kids. And they have some kind of special needs. Sometimes they have reading issues, okay? Reading issues. Sometimes they have other issues. And if you would catch it early, and deal with it early, you could correct it. But what happens, people delay. And once they delay, it's much harder to do things later in life. It's much harder to deal with somebody who's major issues when they're 16. It's much easier when they're 11. I know it's hard to believe, but it's much easier to deal with people when they're younger. People have issues. You deal with it as soon as you can. You don't delay it. Oh, well, wait and see. People have issues sometimes in their business or marriage. So if you're lazy, if the reason you're delaying dealing with a problem is laziness, you are a brother, the Ishmaskis. We had a slight leak in our house. I told my wife, turn off the wire, get somebody here as soon as possible. I think you have a leak and you let the leak go. You just had a major thing, right? Not good. Well, your case was different. It's your pipes. Costly. What happens if you have a leak and you don't fix the leak? It would cost you a lot of money. You have something in your house, it's a little rickety. You don't fix it. Again, sometimes people have finances, some people. But if it's laziness, you are a brother of the angel of destruction. You're going to destroy things, not necessarily. You know, I can't tell you how many times people with their children or their marriage or their business or their health or a million other things, if they wouldn't have been lazy, if they would have dealt with the issues early on, they would have been much, much better shape. Much, much better shape. But why didn't they deal with it? Not because they were lazy. Because they push, says Shlomo HaMelech, such a person is a brother and a Ben Giloy, a comrade of the destroyer. You're passively destructive. Passively destructive. Shlomo HaMelech says another pasuk. V'amar oyi levar ra'aktsas. Ha'atza b'yor tzi'ure. He gives an illustration of what it means, the danger of being a lazy person. Something that happens and unfolds before our eyes day after day. Right? I passed by the field, Shlomo HaMelech says it, really a vineyard, actually a field, of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of a kerem, a vineyard of an adam, a person who's chasalif, who's lacking a discerning heart. Meaning, although that field, that vineyard of that lazy person, alo kulu kom shaynim, the whole field was overgrown with thorns. Kasu panov charulim, there's all kinds of other growth on that. Ve'echaza anoichi, and when I saw that this is the result, this field, now we have to remember, a field in the time of Shlomo Melech, where 90 plus of the population was agricultural, and the rest was small business like peddler type, or you know, the woodcutter, the person who dealt with a blacksmith. But 90 something, you made your living by your fields. You sold your fruit. You lived off the field. So when Shlomo says, "I passed by a person," like, it's not like your people's gardens here. But like, Willow Glen has nice gardens. Like people, like, these people put a lot of time. Like, it's unbelievable. They're not lazy. I mean, it's actually a little bit of a peer pressure. Like, somebody doesn't, like people give them a hard time over here. But you know, it's not like in a garden. This is your livelihood. This is your life. You need to live off the fat of the earth. So Shlomo says, I passed by the person's field, and they were lazy and they didn't take care of their field. And what did I see? Allah kulo kum shaynu. It was filled with thorns and growth. Echaza anayichi. When I saw that oshis libi, I set my heart to understand what in the world's going on over here. Reisi lakachti musar. I took musar. Ma'at shenus, ma'at shenus, mezhalach reishcha. Actually, these psukim were like the Mishle earlier. I laid down, I took a little break over here, a little rest over here, a little shmooze over here, a little bit over here. And at the end of the day, this person was non-productive. This field suffered. If you want to run a business, you better take care of the business. If you're lucky to own a house and you have leaks, or your roof starts getting bad, or you have plumbing, or you have your air conditioner, and you don't take care of it, it's over time going to get bad. If you have children, I'm saying children because we recently dealt with this more than once, of issues with children, which if it would have been, it's like, you know, changing the oil in your car early, you wouldn't kill your engine. Once there's a certain amount where the damage is much more expensive, much worse. You don't deal with issues head on, and sometimes parents are in the la-la land. My kid's brilliant. Yeah, this kid has a real learning disability. You better realize this now. Now, I'll tell you the truth. One of my children, I've had a tutor for a few years. They do excellent in school, but they do really well in school, but they fudge their way because they're smart and they really have an issue in one area. So I got them a tutor. It's just because their brain, they can like actually con out the teachers and con themselves, but really in the long term of life, they're going to fall behind if they didn't do it. So one of my nieces or nephews had something, and I realized that this child has the same thing, you know. And I for years I've been getting this kid tutored in that area. Why? Because I know now I can deal with it. And in a few years from now, it will hit them. You sometimes, whether in language skills, whatever it is, what's easy earlier will add up later, right? And if you don't deal with it, you know, someone told me that a teacher this year, they told the family something about their kid, and the parents were in complete denial. Not from San Jose. No one here knows. So in complete denial, and like they went to pull this kid and this and that. I mean, a million things. Like you can either deal with the situation. Again, like going back to that boy who needed medication. There are people who need medication. I've dealt with people who have all kinds of, you know, mild, if you're really serious mental health condition, usually you're compelled. Well, mild people can live and they refuse to do what they need to do. And you know why? Part of it is, listen to what I'm saying, if you would ask them, if you would break them down, and you would force them to admit the truth, they care the truth. But they are too lazy. And when I say lazy, it's not that they're lazy laying in bed. They're too caught up in inertia to do anything about it. It means going to doctors, going and doing this, lifestyle changes, whatever it is. They're too caught up in their day-in-day routine. They can't handle change. They don't want to change, even though it would be radically better for them, radically different for them. Exercise. You don't have to, I give you 5 minutes. Usually I don't want to encourage internet use for no reason, but anyone who wants a little musser, Google exercise and benefits. And you're not going to see conspiracy theories over here. You'll see the Mayo Clinic. You'll see tests by Harvard. They can show you physically you'll live longer. You will be happier day in, day out. You will sleep better. Your heart will function. I mean, you go through it. This is not a hidden secret. So we look at our own lives. Why don't we exercise? All right, but I'm giving myself muscle here. Just trust me. Why aren't I exercising, right? Hey, why don't we exercise? It's pashut laziness. What's a laziness? We don't want to change our routine. Even though we know we should do it. Laziness, by the way, when Shlomo Melech is berating laziness, he's actually, it's not like a person on a lounge chair drinking a pina colada, that's a lazy person. It's a person being lazy to do the things they need to do to be successful. Lazy to do what they need to do. Lazy to do what's best for them. And it's a little bit, it's not always just, it's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and the job does not get done. It just doesn't get done. The Ramchal digs a little bit deeper in this pasuk from in Mishlei. V'hinei milvab shuta asher hu amiti k'mashmao. Not besides from the simple level of the pasuk, which is literal. Shu ma shekoyre el sada atzal mamash. What happens to a lazy person's field is that field, you don't take care of it. If the standard of care is not good, it will get filled with thorns and thistles and a million other things. If you're lazy about your relationships with people, let's say you have a long distance relationship with a person, a relative, over time, things will get. You have a close relationship with a person, and you don't invest in it also. You have a whatever it may be. That's the pashut. But Chazal, our sages, the Medrash actually learns this a beautiful Medrash, not a Vizalashanam. Meaning, Allah kula kum shayinim. And Shlomo Melech says, this field was filled with thorns. What does this mean? Shemivakesh pirish shal parsha ve'eno maitze. A person has a question in Torah. A person, why does Lashon Hara happen for this? Why is it in Parshas Kedoshim the Torah tells v'haflich kamocha and it's with this and it's ocha tochiach and it's actually this? You have a question in Torah. You have a question in Torah pirish ve'eno maitze. And you know why you don't find the answer to your question in Torah? Because you're lazy. You don't think about it. You don't push yourself to understand it. You just say, it's a nice question, and you just go on with your life. It's a nice idea, and just go on with your life. Not realizing that Torah understanding broadens your life. It deepens your life. Now, obviously, for someone like Gemara, for a gentleman, but for everyone, this is, you have a, my wife told me, she once had a mechanecha. She's famous. I don't know if she wants this to get out.
What is
mechanecha? A teacher. She's a big speaker. My wife actually had learned by several very famous women educators. So she said that this mechanecha should say, "No, you have to, when you know Ramban or Allah Chumash, you'll change the diaper differently." when you know the Ramban or the Chumash, the Nachman is the Chumash. You'll change the diaper. It means you have a different viewpoint of the world. It's like you understand things differently. It's at a much deeper, richer level. There's a certain understanding when you understand Torah. Besides being able to teach your kids and yourself, you live differently. If you look at Torah superficial, then you will be a superficial Jew. I remember I wouldn't call myself close, but I spoke to several times to Moshe Shapiro. It was in Eretz Yisrael. Actually, Rabbi Hartman, who was here in the winter, was one of the greatest students of Rabbi Shapiro, by far. As this person told me, he used to go to Rabbi Shapiro to appreciate the depth of Torah. Can you see the depth of Torah? The depths of Yahadus? So you live differently. It's a different life. So if you just have questions, you go on. Why are you just going on? It's laziness, the Medrash says. The Medrash. Kasu panav agumo. He sees all this growth on the surface and on the fence of the house. Mitoich shelo amol b'hem. Why is this? Why do you have this growth? Because he did not toil in his studies. Hu yoishim etame esatar matar esatame. This person ultimately, well, you know, you learn Hilchos Shabbos, Shabbos brachas. Somebody asked me a question. This is without a joke. A bracha shaila, and he got wrong for years. Literally, seriously wrong for years. Mamish, completely wrong. Bracha levatala, many, many things. Person was is a from religious Jew. Really a nice, good person, and they did terrible thing. They said a God's name in vain for probably hundreds, if not thousands of times. So I asked this person, you know, what my high? He said, well, somebody told him, her, years ago, that this is what you should do. I said, and did you ever look into it? I said, somebody tells you something, if I tell you something, he said, it was a rabbi, the person doesn't remember. I said, like, you just heard one thing, because the person told me they actually were doing it right originally. They were doing the thing right. One person told them something, and that's it. Off to the races. You know what it means? I mean, I don't know if I wouldn't buy stocks that way. I wouldn't buy a house that way. I wouldn't get married that way. You gotta do basic research over here. So you just start saying brachas, never look into it. What happens is you're lazy. I do this, I don't, and you end up doing the wrong thing your whole life. Your whole life. There are people you can do something wrong for decades. Mamish, for decades of your life, you can pronounce words wrong, you can do wrong, it's wrong. Why? Because you were too lazy to fix it up, to look into it. Now, you had this question in Muksa. You have a question on Muksa. You've had the question for 15 years. Why don't you finally figure out what the answer is? What are you waiting for, Mashiach? So until then, hey, you mean, and that lets you know you had a question. In other areas, people just do things. They don't do the due diligence to find it out, says the Medrash. If you're a Torah scholar, you will and because of your laziness, you'll break laws. Ma'anshel shozeh, this is what Shlomo says, uporetz gedeh, when you start breaking the fences of Torah because you don't know, uporetz gedeh yishkenu nachas, the person who breaches the offense, a snake will bite them. What does it mean, a snake will bite them? Survey says. This comment is very often. If somebody breaks defense, a snake will bite them. I always think that my understanding is that the snake is like the primordial snake, which means that the original sin happened by man using poor knowledge and making an error. So to here, you did not think it through, and you make a lazy mistake. A lazy mistake. When people very often, I'm going to be a little strong. Seeing it, I could be strong tonight, a little bit. People make mistakes. People like that. So why are they making a mistake? Almost always because of laziness. Not on the peanut con, not looking, thinking it through. This would never have happened, almost always, if you just did due diligence. Not almost. There are times where the legitimate mistakes in understanding, but almost always it's just not pushing yourself to come to clarity on the matter, having a question or dealing with it and not going through it. And other times I'll tell you, you know, I get people coming to my office like I'm some kind of a magician, like I'm a prophet. They want me to answer questions for them that they should have first thought through. Now, a person wants advice, give advice, so you gotta first think through your question. You know why? It's an interesting thing. I have this in my notes. How, you know, we have the spies, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, when the spies asked Moshe to go to the land of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most brilliant, the smartest person to ever live in this world. He was the holiest person to live in this world. How come Moshe told the spies to go into the land of Israel? Why didn't he understand? Why didn't Moshe understand that their motives were off? You know why? Because they themselves lied to themselves on their own question. You understand? when they were asking the question to Moshe Rabbeinu, they were disingenuous. They were not frank about what their question really was. And the Pasha says that they themselves did not realize that. It means they were too lazy themselves before they asked the question to ask a question correctly. It means they didn't think through. You know, somebody asked me a question. I don't know if a person. Honestly, I'm pretty good at Eitzah. People tell me I'm pretty good. But I usually try to get face. I don't, anything serious I will not do on the phone. I mean, I usually try to understand people, what they're doing. But like sometimes people ask a question, and they themselves could to do a mitzvah, to do a chesed, and they themselves are there's something that bothers them, and they don't even express that. So that changes the question, doesn't it? You ask a question about marriage, and should I do this for my husband, for your wife, whatever it is. I mean, you have to have a full picture of the situation. So thinking through a situation, you know, I've had people discuss career changes, moves, marriage, school, I mean, a million things. And if you don't think through these questions, there are serious consequences in life. Life is serious. It's not, you know, there's certain things that are small. Like what you eat for breakfast this morning or tomorrow morning, figure it out yourself. If you had eggs in a bagel or you had cream cheese in a bagel, if you do it every day, it could have a long-term effect. But it's not going to be big. But you, the schools, who you marry, jobs, you know, houses moving, these are big things. It really could affect a lot of things. A lot of things. And you know who has to think about the most? The person who's asking the question. You know why also? Because it's actually a chazal. That's what expects about this. Deep down, we know our own answers. There's a certain Ruach HaKodesh we all have. Doesn't mean we have the courage to do it always. Doesn't mean we have the guts to do what we're supposed to do always. But we deep down know what we're supposed to do. But you have to do that. And very often, we don't think through our questions because we're too lazy to do it. What do you mean lazy? It's not, again, we don't do our due diligence. We don't think through the questions. Other times we think through it, but we don't think the consequences. Right? I mentioned this story once before. I knew a guy who was dating a girl, and this guy was Mensa. Everyone know what Mensa is?
Super
IQ. It's like 160 something. Really brilliant guy. Brilliant, like a little space cadet, but brilliant. I couldn't believe it. This guy's dating a girl. He was like such an atypical person. So he said, he dated her like 4 or 5 times, but she's not for him. So shkach, so break the date, you know, good, say no. But she's very pretty. And she has a charismatic personality. So, but what's the problem? You know, not for his personality, not his intelligence. Doesn't. So what's the problem? You know, she's a very attractive young lady. This is decades ago. You know, he kept dating. So what was his problem? He was not thinking through the consequences because, you know what happens is you're married to somebody you may be attracted to who is not for you? There are consequences. You know the consequences of thinking through a job that may not be for you? There are big consequences to that. Okay? And you know why people don't get there often? Sometimes it's denial. But very often, it's not thinking through those consequences, right? Really thinking it through, what will happen? What are the you know? And when you ask a question, or you're dealing with yourself, or you're going through a question, you got to think about consequences. You know, you buy a house, a mortgage, you're making enough money this year, but what's the job in 3-5 years from now? You have to cash that in. You're going to pay a mortgage, right? That's the serious stuff over there. You don't mean to lose your house, get foreclosed on, lose, you know? There's serious consequences. I know more than one person who moved to Israel and their kids went off the derech. Legamre. You know, why? Because they didn't think. I'm sure you met such people in Ramat Beit Shemesh and Har Nof, Americans, right? They didn't think that their 14-year-old kid's going to do when they get to Israel. That they heard, but you know, and moving to Israel is a mitzvah. It's a great thing to do. Wonderful. There are people. I when I hear a Baal Tshuva wants to go to yeshiva right away, also I think like you have a career. What's the consequence? What's it going to do to you? See, I can go to yeshiva is a great thing to do. But there's consequences. You got to think through. If you go ahead and do that, what will be the net result? What will happen because of that? It's not, you cannot be lazy in life. And if you do, says Shlomo Melech, you're going to make terrible mistakes. And Zrizus doesn't only mean physical alacrity. It means pushing yourself to do the due diligence and to think through things that need to be done. And then Ramchal then goes on to this medrash. V'hinei ki rasa atzol eino ba basachas. People, the ruin, the ra, the evil of a person who's lazy, it doesn't happen at one moment. Ela ma'at ma'at, slowly, little by little, below sheyida v'yargish ba. Kino nimshach mira al ra. It happens very often in life that a person, doesn't exercise, gains a lot of weight, or doesn't work on their relationship and it gets damaged, or hurts their business, or whatever it may be, or pulls themselves out of spirituality. Yeah, when I was 25 years old, I would daven, I would say brachos, I would learn Torah, I would do a million things. I was so spiritual. I was so spiritual. But I got caught up in life. And year one, I davened a little bit, yes. And year two, I came to shul a little bit later. And year three, I did this. And guess what? Eight years later, you're not so frum anymore. You're not so spiritual anymore. 8 years later, you look at your Yiddishkeit and your Yandis, and it's pretty schwach.
It's very hard to say that here.
Very what?
It's very hard to keep it here.
Please, it's very hard to keep it everyone. I'll bring you people. That's a lame excuse. I can show you people who do better here, Israelis that you know, and people, all kinds of people who do better than anywhere. You can very hard do anywhere. And whenever you say it's here, it's shifting blame. I don't buy that. So, I don't buy it. It's shifting blame. There's different Yetzirahs in different places. That's for sure. There's less Yiddishkeit surrounding you everywhere. That's for sure true. That's for sure true. But you also
the most materialistic place, and it
here.
To you. Yeah.
I gotta take you to New York.
Okay, one of the.
No, listen.
It catches you.
LA. LA actually LA. Also. Yeah, but you know what? Mrs. Corey, I'm gonna. What you're saying, everything you're saying, there's for sure an aspect of truth to it. But the Ramchal is talking to all generations and all people. All generations in Yerushalayim today, I lived there for a few years, there's a big Yetzirah on many things. Right? It's different, but it's still there. You will have a Yetzirah wherever you go in life. It won't escape you. You can't run away from the Yetzirah. You know why? Olam has a Yetzirah. So it's not going to change having a Yetzirah and laziness. It will be different. Right? So sometimes it's the cause of machlokes, hate Jews, sometimes it's this, sometimes it's a million. It's also about Yitzhara, right? There's all kinds of Yitzharas in this world. Sometimes it's just going with the flow. I mean, there's a million things. Yeah, there are challenges here that are not in other places, and the challenges in other places that are not here. That's true. But whatever the challenge may be, if you're lazy to think through it, right? Someone just told me, a very religious community, they know a few people got divorced. One after another. I'm not judging anyone. I'm just telling you, this is a very religious neighborhood in a certain place that I know. Why did that happen? It didn't have to happen. It's not a common thing. Another place I mentioned, this community in Israel, I know a lot of kids that went, well, off. It does. Wherever you are, there's going to be Yetzirah. Wherever you are, there's going to be Yetzirah. Wherever you are, there's going to be an Yetzirah, and everyone's Yetziraras are different. Okay, so I don't need to push back on the premise. I meant, because there are things that are challenging in the Bay Area. I 100%. And there's things that are unique challenges here. Maybe when parts. Since you're pushing, I'm going to push back a little bit. You have the ability to push yourself. I can tell you that 100%. True or false? So I mean, I'll tell anybody. So it's a little bit of a cop out. It is. A little bit of it's a cop-out. You can always, wherever you are, I've been in, I lived in Meir Sharim, okay? So I know, I lived in the Meir Shiva. I was in Beis Yisrael. Oh, it's my mother's fault, it's my father's fault, it's the Rebbe's fault. How many times after a kid tell me my Rebbe, because of him I don't learn, because my Rebbe in fifth grade, or my Rebbe in eighth grade, or this person, or, you know, I'm not cut out for learning, or I'm not cut out for this. Oh, there's a million, life has a lot of excuses. Right? And you know what? If you don't push yourself wherever you are, you in the beginning will be on cruise control, then you'll start cutting back, or you'll start loosening yourself on certain areas. Your ruchnius, spirituality, is hard wherever you are. Being from, it's easier, by the way. External firmkeit, it's a good thing. I'm a believer of having a connection to firmkeit. But as long as it's genuine, and as long as it's in a box. But it's supposed to be a trapping to lead you to Hashem, to have a heart into it, to have ruchnius into it, to have a connection and a bond. That's hard wherever you are in the world. That's hard in Bnei Brak, Yerushalayim, Lakewood, New York, L.A., San Jose, Miami. That's not an easy thing. There are many people who could be sociologically very religious and be lacking that. To have that, and it's easy to lose. And very often it doesn't happen at one terrible... You met the wrong person, they offered you some kind of vice, or the wrong person, the opposite gender, and you end up in the wrong... But this is very often a slow attrition. Slowly you attrition. Slowly you lose the focus. And it happens little by little over time until you find yourself sunken into a place where it's really hard to get out. And you've lost the time of your life. And so now Shlomo Melech talks about a Torah scholar. And the guy when he was 20, 25, 30, 35 was so into Torah. So into learning. So, you know, Geschmack? Geschmack! He was like a Geschmack a Yid. He was, you would see him daven, he would come, learn, daven, a girl was a Beis Yaakov girl. So, such a edela girl, from girl. All of a sudden, you see her like 6 years later, skirts up, a little bit above the knee. Right, a couple inches. They saw once on Google some website that said it could be up to an inch and a half if they're wearing stockings. So Rabbi Pinocchio said that such a thing. So Rabbi Pinocchio said that it can have an inch and a half. And then her shirt gets a little bit tighter. Miss Beis Yaakov 6 years ago, it starts a little tighter. But she saw once on, you know, Miss... Mrs. Pinocchio's from website that you have to look attractive to your husband, and even if people in the street see, it's their fault, it's not your fault, because you need to look good for your husband. And then a few years later, you see your girlfriend who tells you that she goes to a certain place to work out, and really she wears tights and whatever, but in this, and this, nobody's watching her, so you join her. And you start listening to the music with her, and you start working out. And a couple years later, your sleeves are showing, but it's working out. It's a mitzvah to do exercise. You know, I'm as Jesus. Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens little by little by little by little by little. You know, that a person gives up on their standards. And I was not there, but someone told me, the Baruch Shmuel Kamenetsky, and a girl called him up crying, that her father, who used to be a very learned person, spends hours a night locked up in the room looking at the internet. And he wasn't reading the news. He wasn't reading the news. He was reading the girls in Burma and in Brazil. And they weren't dressed, period. Okay? How in the world does that happen to somebody? Nothing happens. You start looking at the internet a few hours here, blah, 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 blah. And then one day, yeah, it doesn't happen. This is over time. Good people, not bad people. A little here, a little there, a little, and over time. Once upon a time, they would dive into me into things, and over time. So, since he's talking about Torah scholar, Shlomo says, in the beginning, you push yourself a little bit less. A little bit less. You can relax. Push yourself a little bit less. The person stops exerting himself. Then, you start making mistakes. If this one's not bad enough, over time it gets even worse. He starts, just learning superficially. But I can flip this to girls also. As I mentioned, I grew up in a pretty religious neighborhood, and I can tell you some of the people I know at age 20 were a lot firmer than they are today. And some people today are a lot firmer than they were at age 20. Because it can go both ways. But what happens, I've never seen somebody who's mentally sane go from a Beis Yaakov girl to a girl jogging in shorts in the next day. It doesn't happen the next day. But I have seen that happen. I know more than one person who fits that category, unfortunately. I know more than one person who at age 20, a guy, was so serious, so schmuck into learning, into spirituality. And you meet them at age 40, and I'm like, what happened? It didn't happen. It wasn't from the next day. It wasn't even next week. And it wasn't even, in most cases, next year. Well, in rare cases that could happen. Right? It was attrition. It was attrition over time. And you see that in marriages. You see that with children. You see that in business. Right? Right now we're focusing on spirituality. On ruchnius. The guy starts, yigal panim shlo kalacha. And then, doesn't want to keep the halacha the way. I don't know the rabbis what they're talking about. Why can't I do this? Yom Tov Sheni, second day of Yom Tov. What's so machmer? We live in this world. I kid you not. I've had people ask me questions and get angry at me. I said, I don't make up Hashem's Torah. What are you get me for? You're firing a gun at me. You ask me a question, I'm telling you the truth. You don't want it? So sometimes I could tell them there's a chumra, there's a kula. Very often it's black and white over here. You did this, or this is the question, this is the answer. Would you like me to make it up for you? So eventually some people, if you get lazy, then you get upset. Tznius, I'll pick on the girls now, he's picking on the guys because he's picking on the guys. Tznius, in California. You know how hot it was today? How hot was it today?
90 degrees.
Yeah, it was 90. I saw yesterday my car was 91. At 6 o'clock, it was 91.
Yeah, it was 88 this morning.
6 o'clock, it was 90. I couldn't believe it. God, we think of it. Yeah, gotta loosen up a little bit. That's a hot day. A little standards. And you gotta be attractive. It's a Kiddush Hashem. My sister told me one of her friends used to dress provocatively, and she said it was a Kiddush Hashem that a Jewish girl should look so pretty. So the girl felt. It's like a Kiddush Hashem that a Jewish person could, eat treif and keep kosher at home. But to show he's normal, what in the world does that mean? It's a Kiddush Hashem to walk around like someone in Hollywood. Not Hollywood, Florida. Hollywood, California. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That's a Yetzer Hara. A girl walks around like, or oh my goodness, somebody told me recently they saw a person benching and another benching. They're looking at an iPhone. In the middle of benching, they start looking at their, what's it called over there? Screen.
Did they see their screen? They could have just been benching.
No, they had a bencher. They weren't benching for the iPhone. Okay. They had a bencher, and in the middle of benching, they were looking at their iPhone.
That's different.
Yeah, they probably didn't want to bench with their screen because they would have been stuck on the benching. Right? They're in the middle of benching, they were looking at an iPhone. By the way, the iPhone, Rahman al-Islam. Rahman al-Islam. It's such an Avodah Zarah. If you don't think that if you don't control it, it will control you. It could be controlled, but if you don't control it, it will control you. Had a question on that? Now, you don't control it, it will control you. It will, over time, that's a something that can drug you up and pull you in, and you'll never be able to get out of it. Like emails, I felt bad. Someone emailed me. I have been so busy, and I will be busy until this Erev stuff is done. I mean, it is. Somebody emailed me. I felt bad. I didn't email him back in a day. Like, was that a question, which is halakhically a question on Parsha or whatever it was? I felt bad. I blamed myself afterwards. Like a day. Like this is not like you know. Today people have to email me. I don't text. Thank God. I'm a few things that when they'll ask me after 120 years, I don't text. People text today. They get it pulls you in. Social media. I mean, you put the package together. So you're in social media, and you have to, of course, know what somebody ate for breakfast yesterday, and put your like on it. It was like craziness. Between social media and emails and texts, I mean, you could literally spend hours of your life. A day! I'm not talking about a week or a month, a day! And you look after 120 years of college, you have to say, today was a Zion year, I gave you a whole geshmak a day. And then you say, oh, Rabbi Levine, well, I didn't have time to daven. You didn't have time to daven? What in the world does that mean? Go look at your day. Let's go through, what about me? What do you think of college Baruch? Let's look at your day. You're on Facebook. You're on
Twitter.
Yeah, you got to follow the president. Somebody told me he reads all the president's Twitters. Why? Because he needs to follow him. And this person doesn't learn a word. But he needs to know that Hashem's Twitter, he doesn't need to know. President Trump's Twitter, he needs to know everything out. And then he probably reads the commentary online. What did that word mean? And the spin 15 different directions from... Do you like him? He's an idiot. If you don't like him, he's a brilliant strategist. If you like him, like everyone's been, you gotta know what's meant as a Twitter. How about Baba Kama? How about Baba Basra? How about davening? That you have no time for. But to know, we live in the world. I gotta know Twitter. I'm telling you, I fight against all my time. I have so many emails a day. If I can shut down my email, it would be a miracle. I really, it would be. I don't have a choice. I'm stuck. Like having, you know, not driving a car today, but it's not a joke. You can feel like you can spend so much time on stuff. You could waste an ordinary amount of time. You could waste family time. I try. I come home. I'm not perfect at this. When I see my kids, that's it. They're my focus. I see my wife. You know, why in the world should I be a slave to everything constantly? You don't live. And mitzvahs. Oh my goodness, mitzvahs. I have to say this again. That Facebook, because I looked at that. How in the world do people waste their life on Facebook? Again, if you have a distant relative, but people posting, all their pictures from Sunday, where they went on vacation, what they ate for lunch, and people commenting on that. Like, don't you have better things to do with your life? Couldn't you have learned Torah if you're a man? Couldn't you have done mitzvahs? Couldn't you have done? No time to die mincha. You have time to post, you know, a mountain. And to comment on somebody else's tree. What a beautiful tree. And like smiley face on a soccer ball with a 2-year-old. That's a beautiful 2-year-old on a soccer ball. I don't know what the pictures. I mean, like, that's you have time for? Commenting on Narishkeit? And then, I'm not even talking about the self-esteem that people feel good if they have a like or a smile, you know, or something like that. That's just stomp pathetic. But that, what are you doing with your life? What in the world is a person doing? What kind of waste is that? And contriving pictures and just to show people. And then, of course, you got to check it 50 times to see who comments so you can comment back. All right? So about a tree, you have to comment on the tree. And then you have to comment on the waterfall. And then, you know, again, so people go on vacation. They have to, their whole vacation they have to put on Facebook. And everyone has to comment on their vacation as well. Oh, I went there. And I went there, honestly, really, again, I'm not telling there's no, there is some good use, and I know it connects with people, but when you think after 120 years, and God's going to say to you, life was short, let's see what you did, okay, and he's going to take out your Facebook account, I'm not worried about my Facebook account, I don't have one, I'm worried about other accounts, trust me, I'm worried about plenty of things, but me, but what are you going to tell Hashem? I had 55 likes on this picture. Wasn't that mitzvah to do? You know, I had to comment on what my friend put her cousin's son's picture on her Facebook of him eating oatmeal at age 1. And I had to comment how cute that was. Could somebody please, honestly, enlighten me. Why is that important?
It's just helps you stay in touch with people.
There is a benefit, but if you're honest, most of the benefit is way outweighed by the loss of time. And most people you're commenting on, it's just stupidity. It's mobbish stupidity. It's like literally inane things, right? And again, there's a natural need for people to connect, and it's a way for certain people to connect. I'm being a little strong to make a point. There are values to it. I understand that, by the way. I can also, especially if it's a relative, your cousins, your children, your own children, your own parents, your own relatives, I think it's a great thing. You know, if you want to see someone you don't even see you're very close to, but most of what people are doing there has nothing to do with that. Again, I don't have this Google book or you know, Punnin book or anything else myself, and I've been on there very few times. But I come on, people need to show me things. So when I see it, you can just see what everyone's doing. And someone's with a flood, there's 18 people posting a flood in San Jose, and everyone, the same people are commenting on each other, like, why? Why? You know, why waste so much time on this? I just don't understand it. You know, it doesn't make sense. And I'm not saying it's evil. I'm saying it's a waste of time. It's a waste of productivity. It's a waste of vitality. It's a waste of life.
What if you learn first and then you go on?
So it depends. Listen, again, all I'm telling you, I'm stressing this not because I want to have to shut Facebook stock market down. We all need to have an accounting for the things we do, right? You know, for the things we're doing. So if your husband learns a lot, right? If he could do more, he should do more. Now, everyone needs a break, by the way. It could be the social media, some people's break. Everyone needs a break, and everyone needs a certain social, but you just have to watch this stuff. You don't get consumed by it. Most people get consumed. They don't control, they are controlled. And I don't believe, when I see people commenting, you know, again, I don't remember the last time I saw it, you know, but I see people commenting, and they've commented like 20 times over a day on something, you know, and they, well, almost an hour ago, almost a half hour ago, almost 2 hours ago, almost 3 hours ago. I mean, you can see what they're commenting. That means they're going back and forth. They're checking their posts. I mean, there's no question about that, right? And they're smiling, you know, like, why? You know, again, it's just, listen, there's a good time and place, and you could be right. Some person learns to do what they need to do. They daven, they do their mitzvahs, they do chesed, and now they need a little break. Fine, I'm not against, as long as it's kosher, it's fine. You know? But just keep in mind what you're doing with your time.
Because I learned from olivebit.com. I learned different parshas.
Beautiful.
From the internet.
Oh, no, I'm not against. I want you to know that the internet, I put my classes, this class will be on the internet. You're taped, you're going to be on the internet forever, right? I'm not against, I think it's a good tool. I use it every day. But here's my point. If you don't control it, it will control you. You don't control your social media, it will control you. I'm not talking about the evils of the thing. There are evils of the internet, and there are real bad things. There are also, I think it's a car. It's like a car you can use for the good and the bad. You know, you can get into accidents if you're not careful. You can get to where you need to. The internet can have a good use, in theory. But if you do not control it, it will control you. And here we're talking about having zrizus, taking care of the things you need to take care of, focusing on important things in life, like making sure you exercise. If you're spending time on Facebook, I promise you, exercise is more important. Okay? If you're spending time on Facebook, I promise you, family time is more important. If you have a job and you're going there doing your job and you're hurting your productivity, it's gazela. It's stealing from your employer. Okay? Now, maybe let you check a little bit, but no one wants to hire an employee sitting there looking on social media all day or reading the news all day, you know, or what's it called? Buses the app, you know, over there, you know, all day long. That's another thing. I didn't mention that. People are on their hours, they're on groups and this. I mean, it's crazy. You know? So all I'm saying is, we need productivity, think of focus. This is an area that needs work. I have no doubt if Moshe Rabbeinu would come here alive today, or Yeshaya Navi, they would speak about this thing all day long. All day long. They would be telling people, this is it's the heart of the generation. Don't lie. It doesn't mean it's evil, but it is a Yetzirah. And how you treat this stuff, I mean, there's a couple of people who are still, you know, not involved. But for most people, who get benefits. That's, you know, and have good uses, and there is a, I'm sure there's a good social media use to connect to family and all of that, 100%. I'm stressing this because anyone who's honest with themselves, unless you're like Andy Harmon, who's just like completely oblivious to like email and like, you know, his own things, but you know, most people, we waste time, we waste life. And if you really think it's important to get 100, I'm on the plane, I sometimes see these people next to me like scrolling for hours at these things, like push it, like looking, you know, the whole plane ride. They said, I'm learning Gemara, and they're sitting there the whole time, like screaming, looking at their screens, and you know, it's crazy. So if we're honest, this is a big. It's other. I mean, there are people who the first thing they do, wake up in the morning, if you look at their email. So as they may die, they look at their email. Who in the world is going to email them at 3 in the morning? I have no idea. But they go, look at it. So Shlomo says that you can see destruction, you can see loss of life, of vitality, of family, of care, of exercise. All these things you do because you don't have time. You don't have time. You're busy doing all kinds of stuff. What happens is you destroy the truth. These are the Torah scholar. And again, you end up breaking things and doing things. You don't have time. You have this. You know, there are people posting about cleaning for Pesach, and they don't have time to clean for Pesach. What kind of craziness is that? You know, people, and they're commenting on their girlfriends cleaning for Pesach, and you know, I just made that up. I'm not sure if that ever happened. I can imagine this happening. You know, 50 posts about how hard it is to do Pesach and recipes. They change recipes. No one cooks because they're too busy commenting each other's recipes. You know, like, the only thing that happens, I'm sure it happens, by the way. You can talk about a lot of things. You know, action. You got to be able to do it. And one of the things is productivity. So we actually, we'll hold here. You know, I just want to stress that Zrizis is to get all of us to get to where we need to be. Part of it is doing what we're supposed to do, pushing ourselves to do what we're supposed to do. And that is, you know, whatever you do, but to get to do, think in your life what's important. Think in your life what you should be doing. I'm reading a book now, this guy, Simon Sinek. Anyone heard of this guy? Simon Sinek. I think it's S-I-N-E-K. He says, Begin With Why. The name of the book is Begin With Why. He has a TED Talk. There's a TED Talk, which was one of the most hit TED Talks. I've actually never seen it, but I'm reading this book.
What is
that? A TED Talk?
Yeah.
A talk they put on the computer. Oh. So I, as I said, when I'm doing my emails now, I listen to these things in the background. Although most of the time I listen to Shears. I just, when I need to link, when I can't multitask like that, I'll put on that stuff. He said a remarkable thing. Begin with why. If you don't know what the why of what you're doing things are, you won't do the what. So all of us have to have the whys. What we're being zaras for. Number one is to be a spiritual Jew. You, all of you, by the way, as much as you hear about Facebook or anything else, you guys, all of you have tremendous credit. You came on a Wednesday night to listen to Hashem's Torah to learn a wonderful work. That's being the Yitzhara right there. It means that all of you want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We all want that. So that's a big why. Like, that's really important, is why we're in this world, what we're doing here. But it's also why am I in this job? Why am I doing this? Why is this important? If you know why you're doing things, you can push yourself to do it successfully. The more you understand who you are, like in yeshiva, by the way, they'll push a be a ben Torah, be a tam, because when you have that as your Weltanschauung, as your hashkafa, as your worldview, you can push yourself to get there. If your why is to be, successful, then you'll be successful, and you'll need those reasons to do it. You'll need to have the push to do it. So we'll hold here, and we'll pick up next week. Okay. Have a good night. Yeah.